All right, we'll say good morning. So today's daf is Kuf Chof Dalit, but we're going to pick up on the bottom of Kuf Chof Gimel Amud Beis. So if you remember again, we left off Amar Rabbi Chanina. So 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Bimei Nechemya ben Chachalya, in the days of Nechemya ben Chachalya. Nechemya ben Chachalya is the Navi Nechemya. So in the days of the Navi Nechemya, Nishnas Mishnah Zu. That's when the laws of Muktzah were taught. Chesed, because the pasuk says, "Vayom Bahim." In those days, the Navi writes, "Reisi biYehuda, I saw in Yehuda darchim gitos. They would go and operate their presses on Shabbos, b'Shabbos, umevim ha'arimos, and they would go ahead and bring in the heaps from the field." So the idea that the Navi Nechemya is saying that during his days there was unfortunately an incredible amount of chilul Shabbos. And because of that, they legislated the laws of Muktzah. Amar Rav Elazar, Kanin umaklos glustura umeducha kulan kodem hataras kelim nishnu. So we'll say, what Rav Elazar is now saying is, we're going to learn about four different braisos that discuss four different things that Rav Elazar is suggesting were taught before hataras kelim. Now remember again, we saw yesterday that originally the Mishnah said everything was aser. Then etiru, right? Hechziru ve'etiru. They kept on permitting everything until to the point that pretty much now, at this point in time, everything is permitted. It's more you can count on. It's easier to enumerate that which is prohibited than that which is permitted, because the majority of utensils will ultimately be permitted on Shabbos. So Rabbi Elazar says that kanin are tubes, maklos are staffs, glustra is a knob, meducha is a mortar. All of these mishnayos were taught before the final heter. So I think we're going to go through each of them. Kanin, what's the case? What's the case of the tubes? So kanin disnan, lo sidr hakanan velo netilas andochenes ha-shabbos. So interestingly enough, the kanin is the tubes over here is a reference to the tubes of the shulchan. We know that again in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, there was a shulchan, a table, and the table held the 12 lechem ha-panim, 12 loaves of the showbread. Now, interestingly enough, the way that there were shelves on those two stacks, each shelf held a loaf of bread. Those shelves were not complete shelves. They were made of tubing. The reason we'll see for that is because they wanted to allow an airflow in order to ensure that the bread would not turn moldy in any way. So interestingly enough, in order to place the bread on the shelves, you had to remove the tubes. The loaves themselves would not fit in with the tubing in. You'd have to remove the tubes, place the loaf in, and then put the rest of the tubes back in to lock it in place. So the Mishnah says over here, that the arranging of the tubes or taking them out is not Docha Shabbos. In other words, you can't do it on Shabbos. This not, so again, the Gemara is going to go through all of these cases. So that's the case of Kanin. Maklos, what's the case of staffs? This stand maklos dakin chalokin hayusham, mani umanicho ak sefo v'akesef chavero, v'tolu mafshit. This case of staffs is the case actually of Karban Pesach, where the Mishnah discusses that again, the way they would go ahead and skin the Karban Pesach is that after shechting the animal, they would take two staffs. So right, Reuven and Shimon would put the staffs on their shoulder, they would suspend the animal in between them, and what? And they would skin the animal like that. So the Mishnah says, v'tolu mafshit. Rav Elazar, arba asar shechal lios b'Shabbos. That's true if Erev Pesach fell on a weekday. Rav Elazar says that the 14th of Nisan fell on a Shabbos. Top of Kuf Chaf Dalit. Maniach yado al kesef chavero, v'yad chavero al ksefo, v'tola umashit. Then if Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos, what they would do is they would not go ahead and use the maklos. They would not use the staffs. Rather, what would they do? Each one would put an arm on his friend's shoulder, essentially creating right an area to suspend the animal between them, and that's how they would suspend the animal. Glustera, what's the case of the glustera, the knob? Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Shomta min Pesach ze, Vitola bechavero b'Shabbos. You could take it. Well, I'll just translate. They won't see what it's talking about. You could take it from one doorway and suspend it in a different doorway on Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Rashi says glustera. Tisnan Rav Yeshua Omer Nagar Shigish Berosho Glustera Sherosha Av Veroi Loduchbo Mishum Shum Nolan Boaz Adelis. So this was like a doorstop, or some kind of peg that ultimately had some type of knob on top of it. You can go ahead and move it from one doorway to another doorway on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yoshua Omer Shomtam in Pesach Zevetol B'chaber of Shabbos, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Hariu Kichol Akelim. Rabbi Tarfon says it's like all other utensils, umetaltel b'chatzar, and can be carried in a courtyard. Midducha, what's the case of the press? Hada Amra. So we'll say that's the case we actually mentioned twice in yesterday's daf. That's the case of the garlic press, where the Mishnah says that if it has garlic in it, you can carry it. But if it doesn't have garlic in it, you can't carry it. Amar Rabba, Mimai. So we'll say the Gemara is suggesting that all of these Mishnahs that we just read were all written prior to the final heter of Kelim on Shabbos. Or in other words, they were all written reflecting the idea that you can't carry these particular items on Shabbos. But now the halacha would be different, because now the Gemara is suggesting that l'maisa, the laws of Muktzah have been relaxed, and therefore again, aside from the specific items we mentioned today, in yesterday's Mishnahis, you would be able to carry these items on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Mimai, how do you know? Dilma the olam imel achali acharat haras kelim nishnu. Maybe these Mishnahis were actually written even after Hataras Kelim. Maybe even after the permissive state or the more relaxed state of Muktzah, these items would still be at Muktzah. Why? So the Gemara says, Kanim. So now the Gemara is going to go through each of them. Why would the tubing still be Muktzah? Taimamai, Mishumi Pushei. Bahai Purta Lomi Afish. So the Gemara says, why would the tubing be Muktzah? Because remember, as I mentioned before, the whole purpose of the tubing in the Shulchan was why? In order that the bread would not become moldy, that there'd be an airflow. And so people say, you know, what's interesting about this is, as much as there was an incredible miracle with Lechem Aparan, the Lechem Aparan, the showbread, never became moldy. That was just a miracle. They were fresh and hot a week later. Still, you're not permitted to rely on miracles, right? You have to do whatever you can within your own ability to ensure a positive result. So therefore, they had this kind of tubing on the Shulchan to allow an airflow to prevent the bread from becoming moldy. So the Gemara says, but however, just a little bit of time that would elapse over Shabbos, the bread's not going to become moldy because of that, and therefore maybe perhaps the tubing should still be muktzah. Maklos, why should the staffs, those are the staffs for hanging the Korban Pesach, why should those be muktzah on Shabbos? Esher, Rebbe Elazar, because who says on Shabbos you need the staffs? You could always what? You could always skin the Korban Pesach out by putting your arms on each other's shoulders. Glustura, why should the knobs be prohibited? Kidrabi Yanai, Damrabi Yanai, Bechazashin Mureves, because then we're talking about over there moving an item in a chazah that doesn't have an eruv. Rabbi Yoshua Samar, Tochape, I'm sorry. So, Damrabi Yanai, Bechazashin Mureves, Askinon, Rabbi Yoshua Samar, Tochape, Sach, Kilithnim Dami, become a taltel, mona debat in Bechazer. Furthermore, there's another concern that according to Rabbi Yoshua, he holds that the inside of the doorway is like Rosh Hashayachid. And therefore, if it turns out that you're moving the knob from one doorway to another, you could end up going ahead and moving an item from the house to the chaser. Rabbi Tarfon Savar Tocha Pesach Kelechot Dami Umaneh the chaser b'chaser kamataltal. Rabbi Tarfon, on the other hand, holds that the inside of the doorway is like the outside, and therefore, Alocha Lamai, so it would turn out that you are going ahead and handling an item within the chaser. So is that all the point the Gemara is making over here is that you could just as easily still posit that these items should still be muktzah even in the current state of where the laws of muktzah are much more relaxed. Meducha, why would the garlic press still be muktzah? Rabbi Nechemihi. Perhaps that reflects the view of Rabbi Nechemiah. Remember, again, we saw Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah, we stated him a number of times yesterday, quoted him a number of times yesterday. Rabbi Nechemiah holds that an item can only be moved for its specific purpose, right? That you even, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, he does not recognize this idea that an item may have a secondary permitted purpose. Only time you're allowed to move an item on Shabbos is if it's permitted to use it for its intended purpose. Says the Mishnah, Kol HaKelim, Kol HaKelim, Nitalim L'Tzorech, B'Shelo L'Tzorech. All utensils on Shabbos can be moved for their purpose and not for their purpose. We'll have to define what that means. Rabbi Nechemiah says, Ein nitalin elo l'tzorach. So we'll say again, interestingly enough, we've quoted Rabbi Nechemiah a number of times. Here's the Mishnah that he actually appears in. So Rabbi Nechemiah is of the opinion that no, a kli can only be moved for its intended purpose. So the Gemara says, Mai l'tzorach u'mai shelo l'tzorach. What exactly does it mean that a utensil can be moved for its purpose and not for its purpose? Amar Rabba, Rabba suggests, L'tzorech, when we say that a utensil could be moved for its purpose, so it depends on the utensil. Dabar shemalach dola heter, if it's an item that has a primary permitted purpose, l'tzorech gufo. So that would mean if you want to use it in a permitted fashion. Tzorech gufo means that you can use the utensil itself in a permitted fashion. Shelo l'tzorech, that you could go ahead and move the item not for its intended purpose. Dover shemalachto leheter l'tzorech mekomo. Then if it's a kli shemalachto leheter, once again, we defined all of these terms yesterday. Kli shemalachto leheter means an object whose intended purpose or who has a primary permitted purpose on Shabbos, that can be moved to Tzorach Makomo, because you need the space that it occupies. The Darvah Shemalachto L'Isser, if you have the utensil, Kli Shemalachto L'Isser, L'Tzorach Gufo in, L'Tzorach Makomo Lo. Then you can move it for the sake of its, you can move it Tzorach Gufo, if you need to use it, but you may not move it Tzorach Makomo. So the Gemara says, V'as Rabbi Nechemi L'Meimar, Rabbi Nechemi would come along and say, Va'afilu Darvah Shemalachto L'Heter, even by Darvah Shemalachto L'Heter, L'Tzorach Gufo in, you can move it for its intended usage, but the tzarech mekomo lo. But you can't move it the tzarech mekomo. Amar le Rava, so Rava said the following: the tzarech mekomo shelo the tzarech karisle. So Rava says, I don't understand. According to your approach, you're saying that to move an object the tzarech mekomo for the space that it occupies is not called the tzarech. And the Amar Rava, therefore, Rava says like this: here's how you have to understand the Mishnah. The tzarech, what does it mean when the Mishnah says that you can move an item for its purpose? So if it's a Darvah Shemalachto Leheter, if it's a utensil whose primary purpose is permitted on Shabbos, then what? Bein Letzorech Gufo, Bein Letzorech Mekomo. You can move the object to use the object itself, and you can move the object because you need the space that it occupies. Shelo Letzorech, what does it mean when it says you can move the object not for its intended purpose? Va'afilu Mechama Letzel. That means, Rav said, that when you have a Kli Shemalachto Leheter, you can move it even what? Literally, from the sun to the shade, which means in order to save the object from financial loss. The Darvah Shemalachto Le'Isser, but if you have a Kli Shemalachto Le'Isser, if you have a utensil whose primary purpose is prohibited on Shabbos, then what? Letzorech Gufo, or Letzorech Mekomo in, you can move it to use it for a permitted purpose, or you can move it because you need the space that it occupies, but Mechama Litzel Lo. But you may not move it to save yourself from financial loss. V'asra b'nechemi me'er, b'nechemi comes along and says, Ha'afidu d'avr shemalachtu l'heter, l'tzarech gufo mekomo in, Mechama Litzel Lo. And b'nechemi comes along and says that even for a kli shemalachtu l'heter, you can move it for gufo mekomo, but you can't move it to save yourself from a financial loss. Yosef Rav Safar, Rav Acha Bar Huna, Rav Huna Bar Chinina, V'yasi v'kamer the Rabba, and they said to Rabba, Aliba de Rabbi Nechemia, according to Rabbi Nechemia, listen to this interesting question. Hani ka'aros heichim et haltalinon. According to Rabbi Nechemia, who holds that you can only move a kli for its intended purpose, so how is it permitted to clear the dishes off the table when you finish eating? Right? Because according to Rabbi Nechemia, you can mamish only move a kli for its intended purpose once you finished eating. So again, what do you need the kalim for anymore? So I can move the kalim. Amaluhur of Safra, midi dehavi agraf shal rei. So, because you know what? It's like Rav Shari, remember, is a vessel containing something disgusting. The idea being that on Shabbos, there is this, as much as technically speaking, that, let's say, garbage is muktzah, but remember, lemaisa, what we say is we allow you to go ahead and move the garbage. Why? Because otherwise it takes away from the atmosphere of Shabbos. So according to Rav Nechemia, the dirty dishes would be like Rav Shalrei.
So we'll say same
conversation. So again, you have over here now, Abai says to Rabba, according to Rabbi Nechemia, how would you be permitted to go ahead and clear off the karos after you use them? And Rav Safra said, our colleagues have understood it, because it's like Rav Shalrei. Fine. Eise Abai l'Rabba. So Abai raises a kasha to Rabba. Meducha, when it comes to the garlic press, im yesh boshum, if it has garlic in it, metaltalin osa, you are permitted to go ahead and carry it. The imlav, and if it doesn't have garlic in it, in metal linosa, you can't carry it. So the Gemara says, "Hachamayas." So we'll say, "What do you see from there?" You see from there that a kli shel malach d'leis, remember the garlic press, is an object that is primarily used for a prohibited activity, pressing, right, crushing, which you can't do on Shabbos, but it has a secondary permitted purpose, which would be, as you saw yesterday, to use as a chair, and yet what? The Braisa says, Abai says to Rava, by Astrava, you can't carry it unless there's garlic in it, which would seem to indicate to us that the kli shel malach d'leis can't be used with tzorech gufo, to which the Gemara says, Hacha ma'askinon, what's the case of the Braisa that says you can't move it? Mechama letzel. It's talking about moving the press literally from the sun to the shade, i.e. moving the press for the sake of preserving the press. Esvei, so the Gemara is another kasha. V'shavin, everyone agrees, Shem kitzev alav basar. This is talking about the mortar over here, the mortar and the pestle. Right? If you went ahead and you used it as a cutting board to go ahead and cut the meat on top of it, then after you cut the meat on top of it, everyone agrees that halacha l'maisa, you can't move it. So again, you see over here that even a kli shel malach d'leis iser can't be used at tzorech gufo mekomo. Or can't be moved, start going from a kama hachanami. So therefore, the Gemara says, what is this Baisa talking about? Mechama letzel, also talking about moving it in order to save yourself from financial loss. V'hadisnan, and that which we learned, ein somchen esakadera bebikas. You cannot go ahead and support a pot with a piece of wood. V'chein bedeles, nor can you go ahead and lodge a piece of wood underneath the door. V'ha bikas debiyomtov, davar shemalach do lehetiru. But yet, when it comes to Yom Tov, the wood itself is a davar shel malach d'leheter. Why is it davar shel malach d'leheter? Well, say, because remember, on Yom Tov, you're permitted to kindle a fire. As such, a wood, piece of wood, is totally permitted. Alma, davar shel malach d'leheter, bein letzorech gufo, bein letzorech mekomo, aser. But you see over here that you can't even move the piece of wood on Yom Tov. Hasa my time, well, what's the reason over there? Kevan de b'shav is davar shel malach d'leiserhu. Since a piece of wood on Shabbos is a davar shel malach d'leiser, because remember, again, the piece of wood has no real intent, permitted purpose on Shabbos, then gezera yom tov atu Shabbos. We restrict the movement of the wood on yom tov, lest you go ahead and move it on Shabbos. V'chi teima, Shabbos gufei tishtari, dahad davar shel malach d'leiser, l'tzorech gufo l'tzorech mekomo shari. Aye, but one second, why can't you say it should be permitted to move it on Shabbos as well? Because even if you want to say that the piece of wood is a kli shel malach d'leiser, on Shabbos we hold that you can move a kli shel malach d'leiser to our gufo mekomo, hani mili hecha d'ikatoras kli alav. That's only when the object has the status or identity of a kli. Hecha d'lekatoras kli alav lo. When it doesn't have the identity of the kli on it, there's no license to move it. But I will say the piece of wood doesn't have the status of a kli. It's just simply a piece of wood. Umigas rinan. Do we really make this xerim? Well, so now the Gemara is going to do something very interesting, which is that the Gemara wants to suggest that we won't let you handle a piece of wood, a block of wood, on Yom Tov, lest you come to handle it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, do we really make xerim like that? Do we really restrict activities on Yom Tov because you may come to do them on Shabbos? V'hatnan, but we learned, mashilin peros derech aruba b'Yom Tov, avalo b'Shabbos. You can go ahead and lower fruit by way of a skylight from your roof into your home on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. So we'll say, what's the case over here? Look at Rashi. It's the second wide line on the bottom of Rashi. Mashilin peros derech aruba b'Yom Tov. Rashi says, behejit tnan avalo b'Shabbos. Peros hashtuchim al hagag liyavshon. There's so many cases where you spread fruit out on your rooftop to dry them out. V'ra'a gishamim Mimash Mashin Uboim, Mashilin Laaretz Derech Haruba Sagag, Tilo Tricha Nosa, Dinofle Me'elehen. Amo Dilo Gazvino. So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says that on Yom Tov, you are permitted to go ahead and lower the fruit via the skylight. But yet, you can't do that on Shabbos. So what do we see from here? The Gemara is just pointing out that we don't say that we don't allow you to remember the idea of lowering the fruit is moving the fruit from your rooftop into your house. What's involved in that? Tircha. Tircha Yisir, just a lot of effort. So we try to generally avoid Tircha Yisir on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Yom Tov, we let you do it in cases of financial loss. Shabbos, we won't let you do it. So you see over here, however, that's what? that we don't say that you can't do it on Yom Tov, lest you come to do it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, but is that true that really we don't make this gzera? The hotnan, meaning that we do not go there on Yom Tov, lest you come to do something on Shabbos. The hotnan, but we learned, im bein Yom Tov le Shabbos, ela ochal nefesh bilvad. That really there is no distinction between Yom Tov and Shabbos, except for ochal nefesh. Amar Rav Yosef, lo kashas. So we'll say, when the Gemara makes that statement, that seems to indicate that really when it comes to Yom Tov, we treat Yom Tov exactly like Shabbos, even the chumrah, even with certain stringencies, in order that you not come to relax the laws of Yom Tov, of Shabbos. The only major distinction is Ochal Nefesh, to which the Gemara says, Lo Kasha, Ha Rebbe Lazar, Ha Rebbe Yoshua. In reality, this reflects two different opinions. One is Rabbi Eliezer, one is Rabbi Yoshua. Disanya, what does this refer to? Disanya, we learned in a Braisa. Osova Espino Shanofu Lubar. If you have two animals, a mother and a child, that fall into a pit. Then we'll say, just to give you the context, remember, the halacha is, you're not permitted to shech, to slaughter a mother and a child animal on the same day. On the same day. So watch this. Let's say you have a mother and a child that fall into a pit. Right? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, this is talking about, let's say, on Yom Tov. Right? Rabbi Eliezer Omer says, Ma'ale es harishon, Amenas l'shochto. So now, what happens? You could go ahead and raise up the first animal on the condition to shecht it, v'shochto, and then you could also say again the idea of going ahead and getting the animal out of the pit is an incredible avodah, an incredible tircha. So in the normal circumstances, we would not have you undertake such a tircha on Shabbos. However, the Gemara says over here, you could raise up the first animal with the intention to shecht it. B'shochato, and you shechted. V'hasheni, what do you do with this? Now again, once you shechted that first animal, then what? By definition, you can't shecht the second animal anymore on that day. Because you can't shecht the second animal anymore on that day, what can't you do? You can't bring it out of the pit. Because the only reason you could exert the effort to get it out of the pit is because, technically speaking, you can eat it on Yom Tov. Once you can't eat it on Yom Tov, you can't exert yourself anymore. V'hasheni, therefore the second animal, osilo parnasim komo. You literally support the animal in its place. Which is always saying, you just sustain the animal in the pit, and after Yom Tov, you'll get it out of the pit. Also, so rather than not die in the pit. Rabbi Yeshua says, Ma'ala es harishon, amanas l'shochto. You can go ahead and you raise up, you get the first animal out of the pit on the condition to shecht it. Ve'eno shochto, but then once you get it out of the pit, you decide that, you know what, I don't want this animal. This is skinnier than I thought. I don't want it for Yom Tov. Umarim. Ma'arim means you play a little shtick. Ma'arim, umales hasheni. And then you take out the second one with the intention to shecht it. Ratza zeh shochet. Ratza zeh shochet. And you could go ahead and you could ultimately shecht either one. So interestingly enough, Rabbi Yeshua seems to say that you can ma'arim. You play a little bit of a game over here in order to get both animals out of the pit. So the Gemara says, 1 second. So we'll say the Gemara wants to therefore suggest that the same machlokes over here between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua has to do with the fundamental machlokes as to the strictures of Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Mimai, not necessarily. How do you know that this is the same machlokes? Dilma akhan lokam Rabbi Eliezer, hasam elad de efshe leparnasa. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer doesn't allow you to go ahead and bring up the second animal. Why? Because at the end of the day, you can always support that other animal in the pit. You could sustain it in the pit, aval hechad lo efshe leparnasa. But in a case where you would not be able to support the animal, lo, you would not say this. Meaning you would allow you to raise it up. Inami, ad kamu kam Rabbi Yoshua hasam de efshe baharama. Alternately, maybe Rabbi Yoshua only allows this in the case because you could apply this. You could use this kind of shtick, aval hechad lo efshe, where it's not possible baharama with this kind of shtick. Lo, elo amra papa lo kash. It's not a kasha. Habeshamai habesilo. It's reflective of two different opinions. Beisham Beisol, this man, Beishamai Omim, Omid Beis. Beishamai says, Eimotzin es hakatan, ve'es halulav, ve'es sefer Torah, lurish zarabim. Beishamai says, you may not, on Yom Tov, you may not take a child, or a lulav, or a sefer Torah, lurish zarabim. Ubeisilo matim, Beisilo says you can. Rabbo said, the idea behind this is, everyone agrees that you're permitted to go ahead and carry from one domain to another domain on Yom Tov for the sake of Ochal Nefesh. The question is, if you extend it past food-related needs. Beis Shammai says no. Beis Hillel says yes. Beis Hillel says yes. So therefore, again, the Gemara wants to suggest that maybe the Braisa that allowed you to go ahead and what? Take the fruit from your roof into the house on Yom Tov, when you see the fruit's going to get ruined, right? It's about to say the fruit's going to get ruined. That's Beis Hillel, who allows, who has a more relaxed state of Yom Tov, as opposed to Beis Shammai, who says that you can't carry these other non-food items, thank you, from one Rosh to another, would not allow you to move the fruit from the rooftop into the house. So the Gemara says, 1 second, Emer de Shammai Slehu le Beis Shammai Hotso Tiltol Mishammai Slehu. So perhaps you could say that when does Beis Shammai allow something? When it comes to Hotso, Tiltol movement, would there be a kasha? The Tiltol Gufei Lav Nishimot Tzahi. See, Gemara says, 1 second, isn't the whole idea of carrying something on Yom Tov, isn't the whole issue one of a concern of Hotso? The Av Rav Savar Lo Lahod Durava. And even Rav Pasanek Rav, the Amarav, Mar Shalo Yignov Ze, Mar Shalo Yignov, if a person wants to go ahead and move a Mar is a hoe, right? A hoe to move a hoe in order that it not gets stolen. Zehu Tiltol Shalo Tzorech. This is considered to be an act of moving that's not purposeful on Shabbos. That's what we call Mechama Letzel. That's moving it again from the sun to the shade. Va'aser Taimu Shalo Yignov. The reason you can't move the hoe on Shabbos is in order that what did it not be stolen? But for the sake of it, to use it in a permitted fashion, or to use its space, would be mutter. Ini, is that so? Rav Kahana went to the house of Rav. And he said, Rav said to his servant, bring, Rav said, Shusa is a trap. What he was saying is, bring in a trap for Kahana. What he was saying is, now, why is he bringing the trap? They're using it as a chair, right? They're overturning, I guess they're turning the trap on its side, so they're using it as a chair. So bring in the trap so that Kahana can sit down on it. Does this not teach us the Darvish Shemalach to Le'isser, Le'tzorech Gufo in, Le'tzorech Mekhomo Lo? So perhaps what you could see from here is that a Klishimal, now we'll say obviously a trap, is a Klishimalach to Le'isser. Right, because trapping on Shabbos is prohibited, and perhaps what we see from here is that the trap can be used at Tzorach Gufo for a permitted purpose, like sitting on it. But at Tzorach Mekomo would be aser. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, Hachi Amar Lehu." No, maybe perhaps this is what he said: Shakulu Shusa Mikamei Kahana. Maybe this case over here was not that Rav saying, "Go ahead and bring in the trap for Kahana," but rather what? Clear the trap away from in front of Kahana. Or another Zabo said, the trap was sitting there, and Rav gave an explicit instruction to his servant to move away the trap. Now that would be even better for our purposes. Why? Because that would be the Tzorech Makomo, right? And once you're moving it, Klishalat al Tzorech Makomo, it's obviously permitted the Tzorech Gufo as well. Vibai, same other possibility, is Hasam Mechama Letzel Hava. The other possibility was that in that case also, it looked like they were moving it Mechama Letzel to save the trap, and therefore Rav was explicit in his instructions that that was not his intention. Either A, he was bringing it in for a chair for Rav Kahana, or he was moving it out of the way of Rav Kahana. Rav Mori Bar Rochel, Havu Lehahi Be Sidusa Bishimsha. Rav Mori Bar Rochel had Be Sidusa Bosai is felt pillows. He had certain felt pillows that were sitting in the sun. He came before Rava, and I guess again the sun ruins the felt pillows. He came before Rava and he said, Amrle, Maulatalinhu, can I move the felt pillows? It's Shabbos, can I move the felt pillows? Amrle, Shari. So Rava said to him, yes, you're permitted to. So interestingly enough, Rav Mari said, Isli Achrina, I don't really have to because I have other felt pillows. So Rava still said, you can, Chazul Orchin, because again, let's say guests come over, you would need, I guess these were cushions that people would sit on, you would use the cushions for your guests. So Rav Mari responds, Isle Nami L'Orchin, but I really have enough felt pillows for guests. So at this point, Rava says, listen, buddy, Amarle, Golis Adaitcha Dikirabba Svirlacha. It's clear that you hold like Rabba, right? Now remember, I'll go say, what did Rabba say? Rabba really reflected the view of Rabbi Nechemya, that ultimately you can't go ahead and move a utensil if not for its intended purpose. So it's clear that you're paskin like Rabba. So the truth is, Rabba said, for everybody else, it's mutter. L'didach aser. For you, it's aser. Right? Amr, so what he was saying is, listen, you're asking me the shayla, but you already know how you personally paskin. So for you, your psak halacha is that you can't move it. Amr Rabbi Abba, Amr Rabbi Chiya Barashi, Amr Rav, mechabdos shal milsa, mutter l'taltalan b'shabbos. So mechabdos are brooms. So we'll see that there are different kinds of brooms that were used. Some what are you called? I guess the bristles. So there are some brooms. Shal milsa, milsa literally means of cloth. So a cloth broom. I guess like a moped. So it's a cloth broom. Motul talzul mishabbos. You can move it on Shabbos. Aval shal tamra lo. But if the bristles of the broom are made of palm leaves, then that you can't use on Shabbos. You can't move on Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Rashi says mechabdos. Okay, whatever that word is, ishkuba shemechabdin b'mes ha'shulchan. Interestingly enough, these are not like brooms like we think about, but these are like table brooms. You sweep off the table with it. Shamil, so Rashi says, Begadim, lechabed shulchan, shemalachtu leheter, shal tamra, ke'en shalom lechabed es habayis, the asher mishum ashvuye gumos. The mother shem sikr shalomos. So also, here's the interesting part. The broom that were made out of cloth, those used for clearing off the table. Totally permitted on Shabbos. The ones that had a table brush, as opposed to the ones that were made out of palm leaves, those were brooms that were made for sweeping the floors. We already saw before Rabbi said that, remember, in the Gemara, sweeping is aser. Why is sweeping aser? Because they had dirt floors, and when you swept, you would end up leveling out the floor, which in the house was an issue of bona, an issue of building. So therefore, again, the palm brooms, which are the real brooms used for sweeping, those are aser on Shabbos. So the Gemara says the following, Aval tamra lo, Rabbi Elazar Omer, af shal tamra. Rabbi Elazar says, even the palm brooms are okay. B'mai asking, what are you talking about when you say that it's mutter? What are you talking about? Ilema, letzorach gufa, letzorach makomo. If you say that when it comes to the palm broom, you could move it either A, if you're going to use the broom itself in a permitted fashion, or if you need the space that the broom occupies, b'ha lema rav shal tamra lo. In that case, would Rav still agree that you can't move the palm broom? V'ha rav kirav asirale. But Rav himself agrees with Rav that you could use it, that you can move a kli shemalach leiser, letzorach gufa, makomo. Ella mecham letzel. Rather, what it means is what? Moving it literally from the sun to the shade, meaning to save it from financial loss. Baha lema Rav Elazar af shal tamra. And so, in this case, Rav Elazar would even say, even a palm broom. The ola mecham letzel. Really, it's talking about mecham letzel. And ema v'chin amar Rabbi Elazar. And therefore, the Baiser should read as Rabbi Elazar also agrees with this. So Rabbi Elazar, bottom line, halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? So we paskin like this. We really paskin like the statement in the Mishnah, not like Rabbi Nechemya, and the statement of the Mishnah in accordance with Rabba's understanding back in the Gemara. That when it comes to a klisha malachto leheder, halacha lemaisa, one can move that for any purpose. So a kufo to use it, to come up with space, nechama letzel to save yourself from financial loss. An item that has a primarily prohibited purpose on Shabbos, you can move it to a gufo because you want to use it in a permitted purpose. So at Makomo, you need the space that it occupies, but you may not move it in a chamel itself to save yourself from financial loss. So that we saw already when it comes to what we call the tiltul min atzad, indirect movement of muktzah. So we've seen already, the Gemara has discussed that halacha lemaisa, that is permitted under certain circumstances. In certain circumstances where you need to move muktzah, but you can't move it directly. Again, not every circumstance, but under certain circumstances, indirect movement of muktzah will be mutter. Correct. So says the Mishnah, Kol akelim hanitalim b'shabbos, shevrei nitalim iman. Any situation where you have a utensil that can be moved on Shabbos, It's pieces, let's say it breaks, its pieces can be moved as well. Ubilvad she osin me'im malacha. As long as what? As long as the shards, the pieces, are still usable for some type of constructive malacha. Shivre areva. So similarly, if you have broken pieces, or even a mixing bowl, if you have broken shards of a mixing bowl, lechasos b'nesach pias chavis, lechasos b'nesach pias chavis, so you can carry the shards as long as what? The shards are large enough to go ahead and cover the opening of a barrel. Shirbe zechuchis, if you have shards of a broken glass utensil, lechasos b'nesach pias pach, to go ahead and cover the opening of a flask. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Yavadshi osin me'im melachton. Rabbi Yehuda says the only way that a shard is not mukta is if the shard is usable for the same purpose as the primary utensil. See again, Rabbi says according to the Tanakhama, the shard is not mukta as long as the shard is usable. However, it's going to be usable, even if it's not the same way that the original kli was usable. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be usable in the same way or for the same halacha that the original kli was usable. Shiva, therefore, shiva areva. If you have broken shard of a mixing bowl, latzuk l'socha mikveh. It has to be large enough that you could pour porridge into it. V'shal zechuchis. If you have a glass shard, latzuk l'socha shemen. It has to be large enough that you could pour oil into it. So the idea is that the shard still functions in the same way that the original kli did. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel. Machlokes shenishperu me'erev Shabbos. So Shmuel says like this: when does the machlokes come up? When the utensil broke on erev Shabbos. Demar saver me'ein melachton in me'ein melacha cheres lo. Rabbi Yehuda will hold that the only way it's not mukta is if it can literally do the same type of malacha that it did before. But if it can't do that same type of malacha, then it's mukta. Umar shal tanakama holds afilu me'ein melacha cheres. Even if it can't do the same malacha of the original kli, but it could do another malacha, it's mutter. Aval nishperu b'shabbos, but if the kli broke on Shabbos, then what? Divrei hakol mutarin. Everyone agrees that the shards are mutter, meaning when we say mutter, it means not mukta. Why? Hoel u'muchanin agabi abiyem. Literally, mutter. Literally, it means because they are prepared by their father. What does it mean, Abosai? That once Shabbos starts, the identity of the kli is kind of forged, it's locked in. And therefore, even if the kli breaks, the shards are still grandfathered in under the identity of the original kli. We'll see. Mosif Rabbi Zutroi. So Rabbi Zutroi raises the kash. He says the following: Masikin b'kelim, they masikin b'shivrei kelim. So remember, the Braisa says over here, this is on Yom Tov. You can fuel a fire with utensils, but you may not fuel a fire with shards of utensils. So the Gemara says, one second. The nishperu emas. When we say utensil shards, so when did the kli break? If you say that the kli broke on Erev Yom Tov, then of course you should be able to use the shards. Why? Because the truth is they're no different than any other piece of wood which can be thrown into a fire in order to fuel it. Rather, it must be that when did the utensils break? They broke on Yom Tov. V'katoni, and yet the Braisa says, Masikin b'kelim, v'ein masikin b'shivrei kelim. And yet the Braisa says, you could use whole utensils, but you may not use shards, which poses a problem, because we just said before that once Shabbos or Yom Tov starts, the identity of the kli is forged, and therefore again, even shivrei kelim should be mutter. Eli'i itmar hochi itmar. Rabbi the Gemara says, if you're going to say something, here's what you should say. Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Machlokes Shenishperu B'Shabbos. When is the Machlokes? When the Kli broke on Shabbos. Why? Demis Demar Savar Muchanhu. One opinion holds the Kli is considered to be prepared. What does that mean? That since the Kli was existence at the beginning of Shabbos, the Kli in its entirety is considered to be prepared for use, and therefore even if the Kli breaks, the shards are still Muchan also. Umar Savar Nolatu. Whereas the other opinion would say, no, it's no lot. Panim Chadosh was Balakam. This is a new entity, these shards, and therefore they're Mukta. That would also help explain the Brais on Yom Tov. While on Yom Tov, therefore, if the Kli breaks on Yom Tov, you can't fuel the fire with the shards. Aval me Erev Shabbos, but everyone agrees that if the Kli breaks on Erev Shabbos, Divrei HaKol Mutarim. Everyone agrees that the shards are Mutar, they're not Mukta. Why? Because they were set aside for use, right? They were set aside for use already while it was still there on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara now says the following. We have three different brayos. The Gemara is going to quote Tani Chada. One brayos says Masikin b'kelim, vein Masikin b'shivrei kelim. That on Yom Tov you could fuel the fire with whole utensils, but you may not use shards, broken utensils. Tani Idach. Another brayos says Kishim shemasikin b'kelim, kach masikin b'shivrei kelim. The same way that you could fuel the fire with utensils, you can fuel the fire with shards. Okay, so brayos number one says whole yes, shards no. Brayos number two says whole yes, shards yes. The Tanya Ida, third brayos, Ein masikin bekelim velo b'shivrei kelim. And the third braisa says, no kelim, no shards. The Gemara says, not a kasha, har Rabbi Yehuda, har Rabbi Shimon, har Rabbi Nechemya. The three braisos reflect three different opinions. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, ha Rabbi Yehuda, masikin bekelim and masikin b'shivrei kelim. So the first braisa that says that you could go ahead and fuel a fire with utensils, but not with shards, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Why? The isli mukta, v'nolad kelim lav mukta ninhu, shvarim nolad ninhu. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the reason you can't use shards is because the shards are nolad, right? There's something new that came in, therefore they're mukta. Second braisa is v'ha, the tani masikin mishneim, the second braisa that says that you could use the shards and the whole utensils, Rabbi Shimon. Because remember, Rabbi Shimon does not hold of the concept of nolad. And the third braisa that says that you can't use the whole utensils, nor can you use the shards, that's Rabbi Nechemya. Because what does Rabbi Nechemya say? Well, say, Rabbi Nechemya says that in general, you can only move a kli for its intended purpose. And since the intended purpose of a kli is not to fuel a fire, you may not move a kli to use it as fuel, neither the whole kli nor the shards. Amar Rav Nachman, Hani Livni B'Ishtir Mebinyona, Shari L'Tal Tulinhu, T'Chazu L'Mizga Alayhu. So Rav Nachman says the following, if you have livni or bricks, if you have bricks that went ahead and, if you have bricks that were ishtar mebinyana, you were building something, and you have leftover bricks, you are permitted to carry them. Why? Dechazu lemizga alayu. Because they have a permitted purpose. What could they be used for? They could be used to recline on. Used to recline on. Okay, look at Rashi. Rashi says, di yasar shehishlim binyana, you finished building, vinitosar umehashto lo kaimi lebinyan, El Yishuv Ba'alma, El Yishuv Yashiv Aleim, excuse me, V'toras Kli Aleim. So Rabbi Nachman says that since the bricks are not going to be used for building because the building is finished, then Halacha L'maisa, they're set aside, they can be used for sitting, and therefore you can move them on Shabbos. Fine. The Gemara says, the Chazalim is Galayu. Sharginhu, so we'll say Sharginhu means what? Sharginhu means if you stacked the bricks, then Vaday Aktsinhu. So look at Rashi. Sharginhu is Sidran Zuazu. If you stacked the bricks, then it's clear that what? Then it's clear that your intention is to once again go ahead and use them for building. Amr Rav Nachman, Amr Shmuel, if you have a small piece of cheres, a small piece of earthenware, you're permitted to carry it in a chatzer. Aval b'karmelis lo, but not in a karmelis. Rav Nachman didei amar afilu b'karmelis. Rav Nachman says you can carry it in a karmelis. Aval lo b'rishus harabim. You can't carry it in rishus harabim. V'rava amar Rava says afilu b'rishus harabim. Even a shami can carry it. V'ozda Rava l'tame. And Rava goes according to his reasoning. Why? The Rava hava ka'azil b'riksa de mechuza. Rava was once walking in the marketplace of mechuza. Istavoy masanetina. And his shoes got covered with mud. Asa Shameh, his servant came along, Shakal Chaspa, took out a piece of earthenware, and what happened? The Chamechaprele was clearing off the mud off his master's shoe. Ramu Beirabar Nakala, the rabbi started yelling at him. Amr lo mistaya de lo gemiri. So we'll say it's interesting. So now Rava said to the rabbis, it's not enough that you didn't learn properly, right? Lo mistaya de lo gemiri, migmar nami migmari. You're even teaching the wrong rulings. Ilu b'chatzer havi, mi lo hava chazi l'kasuye b'mana. If we are not in a chatzer, would this shard not be usable, not be suitable to go ahead and serve as a covering for a utensil? Hachanami chazya lididi. So too Rava said, therefore this shard is good for me as well. Well, said, what does this mean? What Rava is saying is that halacha l'maisa, the shards themselves become permitted for carrying or permitted for use, not just if they are used in a functional capacity, but what? As long as they have the ability to be used, it can be used in a functional capacity. So Rava says, since this shard could be used to go ahead and cover a barrel, therefore, halacha l'maisa means that it is no longer mukta, and therefore it's no problem to use it, in this case, even for scraping the mud off the sandal. We'll stop over here, we'll pick up with this. We're not finished with this sugya. There's still much more to do tomorrow. Chananya, have a good day.